Praise be to God. Mysteries of God. Mysteries of God. Mysteries of God. We got to know what he's talking about mysteries of God. In Matthew 13, verse 10. Matthew 13, verse 10. Holy Spirit, illuminate us. Open our ears, eyes, and heart that we might receive what you're saying, that we will receive what you're saying. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. He is faithful. And he wants to bring something to me and you as we get in position. But you got to get in position to get from God. Everything is positioning. Hallelujah. And Matthew 13 and verse 10. Praise be to God. Let's read this together. And the disciples came and said to him, who was Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and he said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Do you understand that he was giving this information to his disciples? Not that the mysteries were not also involved in the parables, because a parable is a representation of a parallel. A parable is a parallel between the spirit realm and the natural realm. Jesus spoke to them in parables so that they could get the understanding of what was in the natural, that which was in the spirit. Okay? So he used the illustrations of the natural realm to explain to them what was in the spirit realm. In fact, Jesus even said at one time, if you don't understand this parable about the sower and the seed, how are you going to understand the rest of them? Amen? In verse 12, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. What is having of what? Truth. 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 If you don't have the truth, how's more going to get to you? Right? So if you've got the truth, more is going to come to you. And if you don't have the truth, you're going to find out that even what you have is going to be taken away. Hallelujah. Therefore, I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Let me share something with you. Seeing, you don't see. In other words, you can see, but you're not really seeing. You can be hearing, but you're not really hearing, are you? You know why? Because you don't have understanding. Okay? Please understand that. Did you ever sit and talk with someone and they're just going, yeah. You know that they're not hearing and they're not seeing because they don't have an understanding of what you're saying. Amen? And Jesus was talking to them in the same way. The same way. Glory to God. In verse 14, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should what? Understand. So you see that coordinates with it. Why? Because if they understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. So God was trying to heal them, but they wouldn't see because they had no understanding. They refused to see and they refused to hear because there was no understanding. And we must get understanding. They were what? They were relying on the natural. They want, and the Bible says that if we're believers, we need to not rely on the natural. We need to walk by faith. We don't walk by what we see or what we feel. Amen? Amen. So we need to walk in faith. Now, a mystery is something that is hidden, isn't it? It's something that has not been revealed. It could be a secret or something to that degree. But God was talking about his mysteries, hidden things that have been hidden from man. Even if they were spoken a while ago, the understanding wasn't there yet. So even a mystery that could have been spoken, in fact, there's a lot of mysteries written in the Bible that we're beginning to get understanding now. Amen? So even though that they were written, we didn't have the understanding only through God the Spirit, could we get the understanding now. Amen. Would you turn to Daniel 2? Hallelujah. Mysteries of God. Daniel chapter 2. Praise God. And let's see here. Verse 17. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 17. Glory to God. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known. Obviously something came to him. To Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So something was revealed to Daniel, wasn't it? A secret, or what we would say, a mystery. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in the what? A night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand." Now, these mysteries, or this secret, was a representation of a mystery. It was a hidden things. Actually, what had happened was this mystery, or the secret, came to Daniel by a revelation. Revelation means revealing. Okay? In other words, what's happening? We are getting revelations from God, which are hidden mysteries. They are revealing secrets from God for me and you. Now, they come in many ways, don't they? They come by the Spirit of God in many ways. All revelation is given by the Spirit of God. Okay? They can come in dreams. They can come in visions. They can come in what we talked about, His Word. Right? And they can come in the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, that's one of the reasons why God gives us gifts of the Spirit, so that we can get revelation, or His mysteries can be revealed to us. Well, mysteries of Him, mysteries of an individual, secret, hidden things. Could be for edification, could be for counsel, correction, and direction, but these are known as mysteries of God, because you can't hide behind a wall from God. He knows it all, doesn't He? Hallelujah. So they can come in many ways, but all revelation is given by the Spirit of God. Amen? In Romans 16. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. 16 verse 25. And it states, let's read this together. "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began." Now check that out. In other words, Paul was saying that my gospel is the revelation of the mystery of Christ, of God's mystery that has been given to me by revelation of the Spirit, that is written down, that has been hidden for many, many years. Amen? And is being revealed to us now by Paul's writing. In verse 26, "But now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. To God alone, wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." So, you know what? We see here that Paul's epistles, which are letters written to the church, God gave Paul revelation of the mysteries of God. I mean, you know, you read his epistles and you go like, wow. All of these letters that have been written, Paul got great revelation. He got great wisdom and revelation of the things of God, didn't he? Let's go to Acts 9. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory. And Revelation, in Acts 9, hallelujah, in verse 3, I'm on Revelation, I'm revelating. Praise God. In Acts 9, in verse 3, as he who is Saul, who became Paul, he's talking about him, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven, and he fell to the ground. And he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now listen to this. Before you can get revelations, you must meet the revelator. Does everybody get that? You must have your own revelation. In other words, before you can even write revelations from God, you must have the revelation yourself that He is the giver of revelations. You must have a revelation yourself. Just like when you get touched by the Lord, you know He's real. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, whatever it may be, when God touches you and brings a change in your life, a revelation has been given to you that you know that He is real, that you know that He is there. In fact, God gives you a revelation, and one of the purposes of a revelation is so it's something for you to hold on to so that you can walk by faith continually. Then the Holy Spirit quickens you, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit quickens you to the things that you've had because He quickens you to remember. He reminds you of the things. You know, a revelation from God that you had. You had a visitation from the Lord. You got baptized in the Holy Ghost. You got slain in the Spirit. Something happened to you. You got the gift of tongues. You gave somebody a word of knowledge. You know, whatever it may be, He spoke to you in a dream or a vision. But something that God has given to you, you must meet the revelator before you can get revelations. Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God. And that happened to Paul, didn't he? That's why it explains to us, the Bible explains to us, the first real book of the New Testament, because if you really look and get understanding, the Old Testament is up to the Gospels, isn't it, of Jesus. The Gospels of Jesus are known as the bridge to the New Testament. Now, even though your Bible says the New Testament starts with the Gospels, but Jesus was still here during the Old Testament, wasn't He? He was here fulfilling the Old Testament, wasn't He? Okay? Because that's why He's known as the Way, which is a representation of the Old Testament, the Truth, which is a representation of the Gospels of Jesus, and the Life, which is a representation of the New Testament in the ministry of the Spirit. Because the New Testament is the ministry of the Spirit. We see here that the Old Testament is known as the Way, Yahweh. Hallelujah. Jesus said that He came with the fullness of truth and grace. So when Jesus was here, that's representation of the truth. And when He left and ascended, He sent the Spirit of life, fulfilling the ministry of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. And Paul's writing this to the Corinthians. And he says, in verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. You'll notice that much of the New Testament has been written Christ Jesus, because it's representation of the Anointed One. Because He's represented as the Christ, isn't He? Hallelujah. In the Gospels, he was known as Jesus because he was representation of the Word. But from the beginning of Acts, he's representation of Christ because he is the anointed one. Hallelujah. In verse 5, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus the Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, what did he say? That you would fall short of no gift. Now what's he talking about? Fall short of no gift. In other words, fall short of no gift for revealing the mysteries of our Lord for me and you. Telling us we need the gifts. He's telling us, don't fall short of no gift. You need the gifts so that you can get the mysteries and the revelations of the mysteries of God. Because the Bible tells us that our people go astray because lack of revelation. People go astray because of lack of revelation. Hallelujah. In other words, that's a representation of a mystery revealed. So we should fall short of no gift. And he says, now look at this. It says, in verse 7, so that you come short of no gift, eagerly waiting the revelation. What's he, you see the parallel here? Falls short of no gift, awaiting the what? Revelation. In verse 8, it says, verse 6, I'm sorry, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. In other words, the anointed one and his anointing. Confirmed in you that you fall short of no gift so that you would have revelation. Glory to God. So that you could get the mysteries of God. And 1 Corinthians 12. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 12. In verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be misinformed. I don't want you to be confused. I don't want you to be misled. I don't want you to fall short of any gift. Hello? You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Many fables, weren't they? Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Well, that's a whole other teaching, and I'm not going to go there. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. In other words, there's different types of gifts. There are differences of ministries, but the same Spirit. In other words, gifts and ministries go hand in hand, don't they? And there are diversities of activities. In other words, offices. But it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Hello? Not some. To each one. For the profit of all. Now, you must understand that Paul is not saying here one gets this and one gets that. What is he saying? He's breaking it down now for simple understanding. He says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. He's not saying one just gets the word of wisdom. Does everybody get that? He's saying you have the word of wisdom and that's it. He's expressing the different gifts by the Holy Spirit that is in you, that all gifts, did he not say that you fall short of no gift? So all the gifts are available to you, aren't they? The only reason why that there's misunderstanding of this is because those who are preaching this don't have the revelation. They're going it by letter, but not by spirit, because they don't have the revelation. Hello? Now, he says, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the knowledge through the same Spirit. Man, did you ever hear people say, well, one only has the word of wisdom. Well, then it's only given to one person. But he's not explaining that. He's explaining each individual thing. But if you have the Holy Spirit, all the gifts are available to you. Now, listen, I want you to pay close attention to this. Let's see, he talks about what? The word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge. And now I want you to begin to lay it. In other words, word of wisdom put on the top. Okay. Word of knowledge put underneath it. Another, faith by the same Spirit, put that underneath it. A gifts of healing by the same Spirit, put that underneath it. Another, working of miracles, put that underneath it. Another, prophecy, put that underneath it. Another, discerning of spirits, put that underneath it. Another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. Wow, it looks like all these gifts fall on a foundation of tongues and interpretations. Glory to God. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. As he wills. In other words, the Holy Spirit is in you, isn't he? Now, he's going to reveal something to you, isn't he? There's a revealing. Revelation knowledge. Now, as he wills. In other words, you're not going to just walk around with the word of wisdom all day long, are you? If somebody is dying there and needs healing, you're not going to give that person the word of wisdom, are you? You're going to lay hands on that person, and by the Spirit of God, the gift of healing is going to manifest. Does everybody understand that? You're not going to go to someone and give them a word of knowledge to someone that's laying there bleeding to death. It's not going to do him any good. So the Holy Spirit is saying, okay, listen, I'm going to quicken you to the gift when it's needed. Hello? Or when you ask for it. Because he won't deny us, will he? Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. Glory! I love revelation knowledge. Puts a stirring in my spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Is everybody getting understanding? Amen. We're going to put down the foolishness of the wisdom of the world. We're going to put it the foolishness of the interpretation of the Word of God by the wisdom of the world. We're going to put this down and get the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Huh. So there are mysteries, there are things that God has prepared for me and you. They are hidden, aren't they? So we need to know them. Verse 10. But God, come on, let's read this together. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, who is bringing this to us? The Spirit of God. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, who he wants to reveal them to me and you. Hallelujah. Now let's go on. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. Now you see that it says might, because you have a choice to search it out. Does everybody get it? You have a choice to search it out. Why? Because you are the steward. You are the steward. Let's go on to verse 13. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, didn't we just say that we were going to get the spiritual understanding of the wisdom of God, not the natural? Now, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now listen, that's why many don't interpret the word correctly. And it may not mean that they don't have the Spirit. They may have the Spirit, but they choose not to search. Hello? Verse 15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So if we have the mind of Christ, it means we need to utilize it. Because we are the steward of the mind of Christ. We are the steward of the gifts. I mean, the devil would love to tell you that all of these gifts have ceased, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, tongues and the gifts and healing, he'd love to tell you that they are not in existence any longer, but they are done away with. But the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, isn't he? And if the Spirit is still here, which he is, then the gifts are still here. Hello? I mean, that is just trampling the Spirit of God by being so ignorant of not realizing that if the Spirit of God distributes the gifts and is here, then he's still distributing the gifts, isn't he? Glory to God. Oh, glory. Not seen, not heard, but by the Spirit of God. This means revealing mysteries or things hidden for you that are freely available by his Spirit. Amen? Ephesians 6:12. I think this is one of the first mysteries that needs to be maintained and understood. Glory. This is the first mystery that needs to be written on people's foreheads. Now, you know what? Think about it. No one else, I mean, you read through the Word, Paul was given such revelation of the mysteries of God by the Spirit of God that you're not going to find through the Word that says, well, look at verse 12 in Ephesians 6. Says, let's read this together. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now that was a revelation given to Paul. Why? Because he met the Revelator. He had a revelation himself, met the Revelator, and communed with the Holy Spirit. And he knew exactly how to access because the Holy Spirit taught him. Glory to God. The first mystery we need to really know is that we're not fighting flesh and blood, right? I mean, come on, even believers don't understand. There are many people out there proclaiming to be believers, and they're still not getting that they're not fighting flesh and blood. In fact, you talk about demons to them, they don't want to know nothing. I mean, I was accused of saying there was a demon around every corner. I wanted to tell the person there is, and there's more in you, because you're deceived. If the Bible says we don't fight flesh and blood, then there's demons. We're fighting devils. They want to bring laziness. They want to bring tiredness. They want to bring sickness. They want to do everything they can. They want to blind you from the things of the mysteries of God. They want to put you in a compromising place so that you don't stay thirst and hungry and seek the things. Because the Bible says those who thirst and hunger for the righteousness of God will be filled. And those who seek the kingdom of God, all things will be added unto them. Amen? So you and I must be in a state of always seeking. You know, like those, did you ever see, let's use an ant. I don't want to use a cockroach, you know. But anyways, you know they have those little antennas out there always feeling their way. Well, you know what? You and I have a radar. It's called Holy Ghost Radar. And if you have fellowship with Holy Ghost Radar, he's going to give you a bleep of what's going on. Bleep, demon in the house. Bleep, bleep. Two of them. You know, he's going to let you know the things and the mysteries of God. You know, call fire down from heaven. Yeah. You know. So, so you know, we got to have fellowship in the Spirit with the Spirit. If you're not in the Spirit and choose to be in the Spirit or have your feelers out in the Spirit, you're not going to know the things of the Spirit. You won't be able to compare the things of the Spirit with the Spirit. Hello? And you'll be blinded, and then that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He doesn't want you to know. Praise God. The Bible says that God is Spirit. So if he's Spirit, you better get in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Okay. Isaiah 28. Glory. Isaiah 28. Quick and simple teaching. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isaiah 28. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, I love revelation knowledge. Isaiah 28 and verse 10. I guess. No, 9. I'm sorry. And verse 9. Is everybody there? Amen. Come on, I want us all to read this. And I want us to hear this. Isaiah 28 and verse 9. Let's read the verse 9. Is everybody there? Amen. Are you ready? Amen. Are you getting revelation? Are you in the Spirit? Amen. Are you choosing to stay in the Spirit? Amen. You got the radar on? You got the feelers out there? Amen. Praise God. Listen. Come on, read it with me. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? The message of what? The message from God. The mystery from God. Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breast? For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people. Now check this out. That sounds like stammering lips and another tongue, doesn't it? Mm. Hallelujah. Now. Glory to God. Let's go on. Verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not, what? They wouldn't listen, would they? Now, you understand something. What is the rest? The rest is from trying to pray in the natural realm. Trying to pray in your own strength. So God has given me and you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, with the gift of tongues, that you and I can get the rest of trying to pray in our own strength. And while you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're getting refreshed. Go to Jude 20. Glory to God. I mean, Isaiah prophesied this, didn't he? Jude 20. Now check this out. I mean, this is cool. Jude 20, isn't that the first book before Revelation?
Yeah, amen.
Hallelujah. You think that might be a coincidence? No. Come on. You want Revelation? Watch. Glory! In Jude 20, what does that say? But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This is spoken just before the book of Revelation, because praying in the Spirit brings revelation. Yeah. glory to the Lamb. Now, guess who doesn't want you to pray in the Holy Spirit? Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. All glory to God. You know, we preach in the jail and so forth, and I'll tell you what, I think this is one of the most things I get attacked on. 1 Corinthians 14. Well, I've been taught this and I've been taught that. And, well, no problem, man. Repent from receiving what you've been taught and get the new thing, man. no problem. get the real thing. Glory to God. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 20. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20. Now remember, we just talked about Isaiah prophesying about stammering lips, right? Now Paul gets the same, he gets the same revelation. Watch this. And verse 20. Brethren, do be not children in understanding. Hello? Do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be what?
Mature.
In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Now what's he talking about? Here it is. Verse 22, therefore tongues are for a sign. He's talking about praying in tongues, man. It was prophesied by Isaiah. Therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Now wouldn't God want you to use that sign for an unbeliever? If it's a sign for an unbeliever to bring salvation to that person or to bring the belief that God is there and real, wouldn't he want to give that to everybody?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are all out of your mind? Now listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this. This is important. He's talking about everybody praying in tongues in a church, right? He didn't say they wouldn't. You know what he said? Inform them. Hello? It's a simple thing. He didn't tell you not to pray in tongues in the church, and all of you pray in tongues in a church. He said, inform the individual before you bring them to church. Hello? In other words, when you invite someone to church, you say, hey, look, you know, I just want you to know that we pray in tongues. We cast out devils. We dance in the Spirit. You know, we lay hands on the sick. We do the Holy Ghost shuffle. You know, we give it all. We make our flesh worship God, because we have dominion over our flesh, because our spirit is strong in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So does everybody understand that Paul was informing his churches that they need to inform people about when they come into church? He didn't say not everybody can pray in tongues. Glory to God. Is everybody with me? Didn't lose anybody? Okay, let's go on. In Mark 16, all glory to God. Well, tongues was only for then. Well, no, it's not. It's for now. The Holy Spirit's still here. That means the gifts are still here. Mark 16, since when did the Holy Spirit leave? Glory. In verse 15, and Jesus said to them, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Hello, dog? Hello, little ant? No. Every creature. He who believes, what's believe mean? Follows. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So everybody has a choice, don't they? They can follow or not follow. Those who don't follow will be condemned, won't they? Hello. And these signs will follow those who follow. Hallelujah. These signs will follow those who believe in my name, because God will give you the power of attorney because you've been following him. They will what? cast out devils. Didn't we just say that that was the first thing that we needed to have understanding of the mystery that was revealed to us, that we don't fight flesh and blood, but powers of darkness? Jesus told this before Paul got the revelation, didn't he? The first thing that happens is we will cast out devils, cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues, and that's not about going to college and learning another language. That's talking about getting your heavenly prayer language. And they'll take up serpents, they will drink anything deadly, they will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That means he's telling us we have power over the serpents. And if you drink something accidental, it won't hurt you. But if you're going to go around drink cyanide and test God, you're going to die. And those people that are picking up serpents trying to bring glory to God, they've had interviews with their children. And what their children are saying is, my daddy's dead because they've tested God. Hello? Foolish flesh creatures. That's what, you know what happens? Because they go beyond what the Spirit has brought them and they get involved with what you call familiar spirits. Now all of a sudden they're talking to familiar spirits thinking that it's the Holy Ghost. And it's not. That's why they die. Glory. Acts 2. Praise be to God. Acts chapter 2. God's talking to me and you. Yes. Oh, let's go to the beginning, right? I mean, let's go to the first book. You know, Smith Wigglesworth was a powerful man of God. I mean, that man, wherever he went, a cloud of glory was there, showed up. He was a man that touched heaven. He touched the heart of God. And, I mean, miracles, signs, and wonders followed him in a great way. And one day, all of these preachers came in there and sat in the front row of his service, and all these things were happening, and they went up to him and said, these things can't be. These things just can't be. And they said, you know, the Word says this in Corinthians, and the Word says this, and Smith Wigglesworth says, what right do you have to go anywhere else in that Bible if you've not completed the book of Acts first? What right do you have to go anywhere in that Bible until you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost so that you can understand what the Spirit is writing? Does everybody get it? Because the Bible says that Paul's writings are hard to understand. He said, until you get the Spirit, you ain't going to understand this. Because these men did not have the Holy Ghost. They were bound by the religion. They were trying to understand the Word of God with the letter. They couldn't get the revelations of God, could they? So they would just have a dead church. Hello? So you and I need to have the revelations of God. So the rivers of living water can flow through us and touch somebody else. Glory. Acts 2 and 1, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues. They appeared to them. Hello? They saw tongues over everybody's head. Hey, what's that? Praise be. You know why? God was choosing a tabernacle. Hallelujah. We are now the Ark of the Covenant. Didn't in the Old Testament, they was led by fire by night and cloud by day? Well, cloud's over you by day, you just don't see it. And fire is over you by night. You just don't see it. Because you are now the Ark of God, the temple. Hallelujah. What was in the Ark of God? The Holy Ghost. Right? The Word. The rod of Aaron, which was the representation of the priesthood. And the manna, which you have now. You got all of those. Because the Holy Ghost is coming, me and you. Hallelujah. So you and I are now the ark of the tabernacle of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You didn't think the devil was going to blind you. Don't you understand? What's in you is greater than he who's in the world. But the thing is that the devil wants to blind you from who's in you. Then you don't get revelation knowledge. Sorry. Praise be to God. Okay, now, where were we?
Acts chapter 2.
Let's do this again. In verse 3, then appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They say all. I'm telling you, every one of them. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in the upper room and got slam dunked in the Holy Ghost. His brothers, his sisters, woohoo! They were all up there doing a backstroke in the river of God. Hallelujah! Oh, and everybody else around them, when they came out, thought they were drunk because they had the joy of the Lord. And they began to speak with what? Other tongues. And in verse 4 again, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So, you know, was there anyone there to interpret?
No.
Oh, my goodness. You think if somebody was there, if nobody was there to interpret, that they would have to just say, no, we can't pray. Sorry, God, we can't pray in tongues. Ain't nobody here to interpret. Hallelujah. You know, we got to go right from the beginning. When the Spirit was poured out, well, they all prayed in tongues, didn't they? They all got filled. Well, praise God. Acts 10. Oh, I'm going to get a revelation tonight. I'm going to get filled with the Spirit tonight. I'm going to let the anointing destroy the yoke of bondage tonight and set me free from the things that hold me. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory. In Acts 10 and verse 44. Is everybody there? Let's read this together, please. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Does everybody hear? Now listen, they fell on those who what? Heard the word, not just listened. The Holy Spirit fell on those who heard the word. And verse 45, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They weren't heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Do you think God wants you to magnify Him?
Amen.
So you think that when the whole church is praying in tongues that they're magnifying God?
Amen.
Well, glory to the Lamb. We're getting revelation.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 3. Who does not want you to magnify God?
Satan.
Oh, it's called the spirit of error. That's been brought down through doctrines of men. Actually, they're doctrines of demons, because anything that denies the truth of Christ is the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Iriarama sarama kuramiya samba porobokofoso. Urobokobokofoso kalavia. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 2. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of who? Christ. Ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the what? Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now let me share with you something. The Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life. Say that with me. The Spirit gives life. You know what He gives life to? Things that are dead. He gives life to something that is dead. There's a lot of dead people walking around with just the letter that need to have the Holy Ghost so they can have some life. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18. It's a new covenant, right? It is the ministry of the Spirit. Right?
Yeah.
Proverbs 18:21. Now, what does spirit mean?
Breath.
Spirit means breath. Mom does that with Alyssa, the baby. She walks up to her and says, spirit means breath, and she blows on her. One of these days, Alyssa's going to start ripping out in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. She does a lot of stammering, but ain't nothing coming out yet. Glory to God. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Spirit means what?
Breath.
And the spirit brings what?
Life.
He gives life, doesn't he? He gives life. Now listen to this. Everybody read this with me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So you see, what you speak, you can speak life, right? So if you're speaking the things from the Spirit, you're actually speaking and He's giving life out of what you're speaking. Amen? He's giving life. That's why He wants to speak through you. So when you're praying in tongues, you think He's trying to bring life somewhere?
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. We're getting somewhere tonight. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14. I love it. I love it. Revelation from the Revelator brings a stirring in my soul. Fire shooting up of my bones. The Bible says, be drunk not in wine, but what? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. Everybody there?
Amen.
Pursue love and desire what?
Spiritual.
Now, come on, man. This is Paul writing to his church. What is he saying? Desire spiritual gifts. Didn't he say don't fall short of any gift? But especially that you may what? Prophesy. Why? Because he wanted edification in his church. Now, listen. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to who?
God.
For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks. Whoa-ho. So praying in the Holy Ghost will bring mysteries to you. Things that are hidden. God wants to bring revelation, knowledge to you. He wants to bring mysteries to you. Well, wait a minute. Didn't we just talk about the gifts and how they kind of like all lay upon tongues and interpretations of tongues? Isn't that powerful? So praying in the Spirit can bring you revelation knowledge, can't it? Can bring you a word of wisdom. And didn't it tell us that it builds up our most holy faith, praying in tongues, so that you praying in tongues before you lay hands on someone? Oh, come on, are you getting it?
Amen.
That's why you're praying the Holy Ghost and you go lay hands on someone. You just stirred up something. It's like a generator. And then boom! You're like a Holy Ghost capacitor. Glory. Okay, let's go on. So you speak mysteries, don't you? But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Because when you pray in tongues, you're not speaking to nobody. You're not speaking to a man. But when you prophesy, you're speaking to a man, aren't you? Okay. He who speaks in a tongue, verse 4, edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Now listen, I wish you all spoke with tongues. I want to rephrase this. I wish you, hello, all desired tongues. Hello? I wish you all desired tongues. He says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Why? Because some refuse to. But even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. Unless, indeed, he interprets. That the church may receive edification. Why? Prophecy is interpretation of tongues. Matakatakikio. Hallelujah. So, we see here that even prophecy is a representation of interpretation of tongues. He says he who interprets tongues is greater than prophecy. Okay, let's go to verse 12. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church, that you might excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, he's talking about being in the church. Hello? He's talking about a tongue that came to an individual. Not during the part where everybody's praying in tongues and magnifying God. He's talking about a part where somebody gets the interpretation of a tongue. Or somebody who stands up and begins to speak in tongues when the church is silent. Hello? Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in the tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Who's praying? Your spirit. The Holy Ghost is not praying. Your spirit is praying. Hello? He's interceding through you. But you're the one doing the praying. He's the one giving you the prayer. Does everybody get it? So that means you have a choice. Your spirit is praying. Glory. Now the Holy Ghost is in you. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit witnesses to your spirit that you are a child of God. So he's your nanny, he's your comforter, he's your teacher that's in you, and he's saying, come on, pray. But I don't know what to say. He said, don't worry, I'll pray through you. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Like, the carnal mind doesn't understand. You don't have to convince your mind, brothers. If God wants you to have the interpretation, he'll quicken you to ask for it. He'll say, Holy Ghost will go, ask for the interpretation. Okay, Lord, can I have the interpretation? And he'll give it to you. In verse 16, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? or giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say. In other words, you're not going to go and teach what? If you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. In other words, the choice is available for you to speak in tongues, but I thank God I choose to speak in tongues more than you all. Does everybody get it? Yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Of course. He's talking about, I'm not going to stand up at the pulpit and try and teach you by praying in the Holy Ghost. You wouldn't get it. In fact, nobody would take a note. In fact, I'd like to see somebody write down the language of tongues. Hello? Although some of my scribbling looks like I did, but it's not tongues writing. Now, does everybody understand that? Okay, let's go a little bit further in this. So we see that Paul was saying, man, I wish you all prayed in tongues. I wish you all desired to pray in tongues. And I thank God that I desire to pray in tongues much more than you all do. Why? Because Paul was getting revelation knowledge by praying in tongues. That's how he wrote the epistles. He was getting the mysteries of God by praying in tongues. Not only for the mysteries of God for the church and for his churches, but the mysteries of God for himself. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done in for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three each in turn, and let one interpret. Why? Because everybody was in his church was getting out of order. Does everybody get it? But if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So what is he saying? If there's no one there to interpret, if you know that the one who's been interpreting isn't there, hello, then ask God for the interpretation, or else keep silent. Don't stand up and give a tongue and sit down, because it's not going to edify the church, is it? Now, most of the time, the pastor will have the interpretation, and he'll even know ahead of time the tongue is coming. Okay. Let two or three prophets speak, in verse 29, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let him first keep silent. In other words, not everybody get up and just start prophesying. Not everybody get up and just start speaking in tongues. Not everybody get up and start interpreting. Paul was bringing order in the church. Verse 31, for you can all, everybody can say all, prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. So he's saying, but you can all prophesy. But let's do this in order, one by one, so that all can learn. Okay, let's go to verse 37. Praise be to God. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Amen. Let all things be done decently and what?
In order.
In order. So do you understand what Paul was, why he was telling this church about? He wasn't bringing a constant rule of this is what's what. Amen.
Amen.
He's putting his church in order. 1 Corinthians 2. All praise be to God. 1 Corinthians 2. And I know we can get through this. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1. And brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. However, we speak what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Remember we talked about praying in tongues brings what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Amen. And what? Mysteries. Now listen. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what?
Mystery.
Well, how did he get that? Praying in tongues. The hidden wisdom, praying in tongues, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Wisdom by praying in tongues. Mysteries by praying in tongues. Glory to God. Romans 8. Hallelujah. So we know that there's this river of life in the Spirit. Romans 8. There's this river of life in the Spirit. And you must look at the Holy Spirit. When you pray in tongues, you know what a well is like? And it's got a bucket over it? And it's got a handle that goes down? When you're praying in tongues, you're actually activating that handle that's going down in the river of life and the mysteries. And what's happening is, as you're praying in the Spirit, that handle is coming back, turning that handle, and that handle is coming back up and dumping this mysteries, wisdom, and revelation into your spirit. And the Holy Ghost has got something to bring up to you when it's needed. Everybody get it? Good. Romans 8. Rabba Shapakatakia. All right. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, who's the Holy Spirit, also helps in our weaknesses. What's the greatest weakness? Prayer. Man. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit of self makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So you want to pray God's perfect will. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Do you know that by praying in the Holy Spirit, you are actually walking in the interpretation? Your life is actually a manifestation of the interpretation of tongues that you've been praying by walking right in it. Glory to God. For we know all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Glory to God. Glory to God. First Colossians. Let's go to Colossians. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Colossians. That's not Galoshes, that's Colossians. Praise be to God. Colossians chapter 1. Oh, stir us up, stir us up. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to stir up the gifts that have been imparted in us. You and I are to stir them up. How do you stir them up? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. Is everybody there? I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, and of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the what? The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the anointing in you, the Holy Spirit in you, the hope of glory. Does everybody get that? It is so important. Come on, I'm going to bring you to a place of revelation right now. In Luke 11. In Luke 11. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. So you understand the importance that you must pray in the Holy Ghost. Your prayer time must be more in the Holy Ghost than in common language. Hallelujah. Luke 11. Luke 11 for revelation. Now it came to pass, as he who was Jesus was praying in a certain place. Now I want you to picture Jesus praying in a certain place. Now Jesus came with the fullness of the Spirit. He was lacking nothing. You think the gifts were manifesting in him? Hallelujah. Come on, hang on. When he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now why didn't they go to the Lord and say, Lord, teach us how to pray how you pray? Because he was praying in a language they didn't understand. What did they say? Lord, teach us how John taught his disciples. I mean, come on, Jesus was just over there in the corner in a certain place praying in the Holy Ghost to his Heavenly Father. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how you pray. They said, Lord, teach us how John pray, how John taught his disciples to pray. You think maybe they felt inferior or scared? Maybe some things they just didn't want to know? And so Jesus said to them, you think the devil was holding them back? When you pray, he says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the hands of the evil one. And then he went on to give him an example. Hello? All this is an example. And he said to him, which of you have a friend and go to him at midnight and say, Friend, lend us 3 loaves. For the friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing set before him. And he will answer from within himself and say, I do not want trouble. Do not trouble me. The door is shut. I'm in bed with my family. Come on, give me a break. I cannot rise and get up and give you this stuff now. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Jesus has given the example of persistence in prayer. Does everybody get it? Okay. I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks will be opened. Now listen, this is important. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Do you understand that Jesus was answering them how they should pray?
Like Him.
Come on, get the revelation. There's Jesus ripping off in the Holy Ghost. He's praying to His Father. They go to Him. They say, Lord, teach us how John prays. Jesus expressed, this is how John taught his disciples to pray. But listen, be persistent. Ask, you'll get it. Seek, you'll find it. Knock, it'll be open to you. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You ask for the Holy Ghost and you'll learn how to pray like I pray. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, Ephesians 1. You're going to have to go over these notes again. Or you may have to listen to this tape a few times. Praise be to God. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I know I'm going to get criticized in a lot of stuff of, Jesus didn't pray in tongues. And the Bible never says Jesus prayed in tongues. Of course it didn't. You have to have revelation knowledge of that. If He came with the fullness of the gifts, He had every gift, didn't He? Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Glory. In verse 7. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. Forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in the wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in Him. So He's already made known to me and you. Do you understand that everything is available? It's already done. You know what people are going around saying, oh, Lord, heal me. Don't they understand that God healed them 2,000 years ago? Amen. Everything is already there for me and you. There for me and you. Look it. Hallelujah. Back up a little bit. In verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So He's already blessed us with everything, hasn't He? It's already there for me and you. It's already been done. People will walk around wanting something and it's already been given. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 17. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to who?
The Father.
Oh, glory. By one Spirit. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. In the Spirit. In the Spirit. You know, the Lord, in the Old Testament, the Lord came down when the Tower of Babel was being built. You know, they all had one language. And they realized that nothing was impossible to them. They all one accord with one language. The Lord came down and divided that language. In the body of Christ, He has restored that language. It's called tongues. Now, there are different ministries of tongues. There's the ministry of self-edification. There's the ministry to the lost. And there's the ministry to the edification of the church or the body. There are three ministries of tongues. The diversities of tongues means that you can be praying in tongues, right? And your language can change to a common language of somebody else, and you don't even know you're praying it. There have been people in Russia, people on airplanes. I mean, testimony after testimony after testimony. Somebody could be in a church, and you can, and the Holy Ghost will tell you, stand up, I want you to give the tongue. You start praying in tongues, and you sit down, and somebody stands up and goes, oh my God, that was for me. And the person was Russian, and you spoke in Russian and didn't even know it. Hello? There was a powerful testimony of a powerful pastor. He was on a plane, and there was an Indian guy sitting next to him. And the Holy Spirit said to him, I want you to pray in tongues. He said, Lord, right here? He said, this guy's going to think, he says, I want you to pray in tongues. He began to pray in tongues. His language changed. The man next to him looked at him. God spoke to him. He understood the language. He didn't know what he said. Praying in tongues. That's called diversities of tongues. Diverse tongues. See, God can use you anywhere. It's not in your mind. The Bible is telling us that your spirit prays, not your mind prays. It's important that you pray in tongues. It builds you up. It edifies you. You know, when you're weary, when you're weak, it says it refreshes you by praying in tongues. The gift is for everyone. Paul said, I wish you all pray. I wish you desire to all pray in tongues. He says, I thank God I pray in tongues more than the rest of you. Why? Because he had revelation. Look at all the word. Look at the epistles he wrote. Tongues is for everybody. God is not a respecter of person. It's important that you pray in tongues. You know, you can get your own revelation knowledge. You pray in tongues, you ask the Holy Ghost to give you revelation. When you're praying in tongues, like I shared with you before, He's imparting in you what you need. He knows exactly what you need. The next thing you know, you're walking in the interpretation. You don't even realize it. Or else He's giving you revelation. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to happen right then and there sometimes. Sometimes He's imparted in you something that is for down the road. You know, all the times that I pray in tongues, He could have had me pray in all of these homes, which He probably did. Yes. You don't understand. Every one of you could be here because He had me pray you in. Do you understand that? Amen. So He knows what's what. So by praying in tongues, you're praying God's perfect will. Hallelujah. He's revealing to you what your future holds. Now, maybe done part by part. He doesn't give you a whole blueprint and say, okay, this is it. You know why? Because then you would try and work it. He gives you part by part. That's why you walk by faith and not by sight. I want to encourage everyone. When you come home from work, when you're at work, pray in the Holy Ghost. And during your prayer time during the night, pray in the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about rescuing everybody. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Jesus first prayed for Himself. Then He prayed for those who were close to Him. Then He prayed for the lost. You can't give what you ain't got. What good is it for you to pray for everybody else when you're not walking right before God? You're no witness, and your testimony ain't worth poop because your witness is no good. Amen? So remember, you seek the Revelator, and you get the revelation. That's why it's so important about praying in spirit. So we want to keep everybody informed so you don't think I'm nuts. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Father, I thank You for Your word tonight. Lord, we thank You for revealing the mysteries of God and for our life. Lord, give us the strength to say yes to You and no to the voice of the stranger. And Lord, bring revelation to everyone as they begin to pray in the spirit of the refreshing, of the stirring, and of the impartation. In Jesus' name. And we promise to give You all the glory. And everybody said,
amen,
amen and amen.